Hey there. This week is a little bit different. As many of you guys know, if you're a visitor, you may not know that we are big on serving and on missions. And we had the privilege of being able to send off our youth group here last week or a week and a half or so ago, and they're back. And so the first part of the message, actually, we're going to allow them to share, and then we'll dismiss the kids since some of our youth workers actually work with the kids also. And so we have a quick little video we want to pop up to give you some background about what they did, and then Nomi's going to come share, and we'll have some of the others share also.
Hi, guys. So I just want to thank you so much for supporting us and praying for us and financially supporting us so that all of the students and leaders were actually able to go without it being a cost to any of their families or the individuals. You guys went above and beyond to make this trip possible, and we're just so appreciative of that. Today, myself, Jessica, and Nora are going to share in person, and then Savannah recorded a video so that she could share some testimonies about what God did in her life during that time, too. Unfortunately, she's out of the state for this month, and so when she does come back, bring her back in, welcome her back home. So Nora's going to share first. She's going to give us an overview of some of the things that we did there, as well as the impact that God had in that time. So come on up here, Nora.
Hi. If you don't know me, I'm Nora Attard. I'm in the youth. So for our first part of our mission, we left on July 4th, and we drove down to Deloge to partner with Refuge Church. Cool. So we drove down to Deloge to partner with Refuge Church, which was the majority of people there. We only brought 4 people, but it's fine. And then the first 3 days were basically just driving, and our bus broke down a little bit, but we fixed it, and it was fine. But once we got there, we got a good night's rest, and then we went to work in 3 different places. So one of our groups went to a place called Monarch Family Resource Center, which is kind of, it's a Christian-based organization that helps out like families and parents that they do like parent classes to help teach people how to like be a good parent and stuff. And then a couple of us stayed at the church we were staying at to carpet the entire floor of this big track they have. And some of us went to go work on this man named Fred's fence because it was all his yard and stuff. They did landscaping. And they got to talk to him a little bit, and that was really cool. And we finished all those tasks in 1 day, and it was supposed to take us 2 days. So we got to do more the next day. A group of us went to a place called Sacred Blessing Shelter, which is kind of, it's another Christian-based organization, and they find people that need to get back on their feet, and they help them get back on their feet. Like, they teach them how to live back in a community, and they help them get back to the point where they can live, like, on their own. And we painted a lot of the inside of that shelter. And a group of us went to the Chamber of Commerce, and they did the flooring. They ripped out a ton of carpet and tile. And then they also painted the walls. And then a smaller group of us organized to the entire library at the church, which was really cool. On day 6, we went to the Cardinals game with some of the refugee kids and families so we could get to know them a little bit before we went out into their community to help them. The St. Louis Cardinals is a baseball game. I didn't mention that. We went to a baseball game. Okay. Day 7, we went and helped out and helped clean this, what was it called? The House of Goods. It was a resource center for like refugee families, and they just kind of help people out. They give emergency supplies and stuff. So we helped organize and clean their store a little bit. Then we went down to the refugee communities and we helped clean some of their houses and windows, and we also played with their kids for a large portion of the time, which was a really good opportunity because we got to hear the stories and we got to help the kids have like make memories. On day 8, we went to the botanical gardens with the kids in the morning, and they just had so much fun. It was, they went and we played in the, We played in the little kids section of the gardens, and they had fun in the little water park, and then we went and looked at insects. It was really cool. And then for the rest of that day, we just kind of had a fun day. Some of us went to an outlet mall. Some of us went to go see the St. Louis Arch. And then at night, we went to Topgolf, and that was really cool. On day 9, we had a field day with the kids at their school, and we just played soccer with them, and we played on the playground, and we just had fun with them. And we had a slip and slide thing. You guys saw it on the video. That was our last day there, so we started driving back. But on the way back, we did some cool things. We stopped at the Chiefs Stadium, which was really cool. One of the youth leaders really liked the Chiefs, and he was very happy. It was cute. And then we also stopped at the Corn Palace, which was surprisingly fun. It's like this huge castle-looking building that's made out of corn. It was surprisingly fun there. On the 6th day of our trip, I hit my head really hard on a wooden rocking chair, like 10 minutes before we were going to the Cardinals game. And Michelle, which was our registered nurse, kind of checked me out, and I think I had like a minor concussion. Yeah. So I had the option to like stay back or go to the really loud baseball game. And I chose to go to the really loud baseball game. And it was fun. My head really hurt. And by like the time we were leaving, I was kind of miserable. My head really hurt. And it didn't feel much different when I woke up the next day. It still hurt really bad. But we had work to do, and I had to go. We were going to clean the houses in the neighborhood and play with the kids. We got there, and John let me just kind of sit and like observe for a little bit in the shade because I was overheating and I had a headache. I sat there for a bit, and I was kind of just praying. And one of the groups that was going to clean the house also prayed over me before I went to go sit down. And not even like 30 minutes later, I had so much more energy, and I was playing with the kids, and I was giving them piggyback rides, and just running around with them and playing and laughing. And later, when we got back to the church, my headache came like right back, but I didn't care because I kind of knew that God had given me that like window of opportunity to get to know some of these kids, and to play with them and give them memories, and it's like one of those opportunities where you get to see just like how wonderful God is and how he works in like very small places. So on this trip, I got to work in a lot of different places with like a lot of different people, and we got to help them. And I like really liked helping people, which I didn't really know until this trip because I've never really done a lot of community stuff. So I think God showed me just how rewarding helping people can be. But I think, like, overall, I loved serving God, and I loved following his path and making impacts that glorified him. And I felt better with myself and more connected to God than, like, I'd ever felt on this trip. And it was definitely one of the best experiences I've ever had. I'm done talking now.
Ow.
Okay. Something else.
So for those of you guys that don't know me, I am Jessica. I'm usually hiding in the back with the kids just because I help like teach Sunday school and stuff, and so that's why some of you guys have never met me. So I was able to go to Missouri for the mission trip with a couple of our students and Naomi. And for one, it was an absolute blessing. But before I kind of like move into why it was a blessing, I want to tell you guys a couple of stories. So as Nora had mentioned, the first day that we spent like volunteering and helping out in the St. Louis Deloge area, some of us went, like we all split up into different groups. And so my group ended up going to Fred's house. And so when we first got there, like the two pastors pulled me aside and they were like, hey, this is Fred. Like, he's going to be really nice, but I'm going to be really honest with you. He doesn't really interact with people. He's not a people person. It's been years since he's let anybody in his home just because he's very fearful of COVID. He's having some health issues, but he hasn't really told us what it was. And we were like, oh, okay. And we were like, yeah, so if any of you guys need to use the bathroom or like anything happens, call us and you're going to be the first group that we get to just because of the fact that you guys are working outside. If anybody starts overheating, I was like, okay, sounds good. And I look up at the sky. I'm like, hey, so it's raining really, like, it's going to be raining pretty hard here soon. Like, it's just drizzling now. But I can see it, like, coming down pretty hard in the next 45 minutes. What should I do if that happens? And so John and Pastor Bradford go, and they talk to Fred. And Fred's like, oh, well, you guys can either go sit in my shed, but it's kind of dark in there. So if you have to, you can come onto the porch. And so it was, like, a porch slash sunroom. It was beautiful in there, and he said that he'd built it for his wife, and I was like, oh, that's so sweet. But you know, it starts raining, and I'm like, okay guys, let me know when you're ready to go inside, and I'm more than happy to just stop what I'm doing. And so I'm pulling weeds, singing in the rain, I'm just la-di-da-ing my way, and it starts, you know, coming down a little bit harder. I'm like, hey guys, how are you doing? Like, oh, we're good. Like, it's giving us a reprieve from the heat. And I was like, okay, that's a really great way of seeing it. So I'm still pulling weeds, and then I hear it, and it's like, boom. It's like a loud crash. I'm like, okay, that's getting closer. I'm going to pull up my little app and see how far away it is. And so when I realized how close it was, I was like, hey, guys, porch or shed? And they were like, no, we're fine, we're fine. I was like, no, we're not asking anymore. We have to get inside. And so just because the porch was a little bit closer, we ended up going in there, and Fred set up a couple of chairs for us on the porch, and I was expecting him to go back inside because, to my understanding, he doesn't really interact with people anymore. He doesn't really, like, talk to anyone. And so when he sat down with us and started talking to us, I was like, oh, yeah, this is awesome. And my initial thought about him was, wow, he's just kind of grumpy. Like, I bet if I gave him some of my snacks, it would be great. And I'm, like, eating my snacks, trying to share with him. He's like, no, I can't do that. But we had an opportunity to sit and talk with him. And at first he was just telling us about like his son's job and, oh, well, you should pray for my son's job because he's struggling with this right now. Or, oh, you should pray for this. And he was giving us prayer requests for people who like we would likely never meet. And I was like, okay, like I would love to pray for these people, but Fred, how can I better pray for you? And he kind of gets quiet for a minute and he's like, well, you know, I had a stroke recently, and so it's really, I'm struggling with my mobility, I'm struggling with speaking, I'm struggling with just a lot of things that I usually do, and it's made me realize how close I am to God calling me home. And I'm fully at peace with the situation, but my kids are not, and so if you could pray for them, and if you could pray for just my relationship with God, I've been really lonely. My wife passed about 8 years ago, and in sitting there with him, I think he and I came to the same conclusion at about the same time, and it was that God had provided that rain and that thunder and that lightning because he knew that what Fred really needed was somebody to sit down and hear his story, that he really needed somebody who was going to say, hey, like, I care about you. Tell me about what your life was like. Tell me about what it was like being a pastor for this many years. And just being able to sit there with these kids and them realizing that serving is more than just pulling weeds or, you know, doing physical tasks, but sometimes it's sitting on an uncomfortable rug and talking to somebody about their life and about what's important to them and what God has put on their hearts. And so as soon as we were done praying for Fred and praying for his family and praying for his health, the rain fully stopped. Like it had been slowing down, but the moment we opened our eyes, the rain was completely gone. And I looked at my app, and it was exactly the amount of time that was okay, like, for the weather service for us to go back outside. And the kids were like, whoa, did you see that? I was like, yeah. That was pretty cool. And so we spent the rest of the day just outside pulling weeds, helping out with different yard work. And Fred would come out, and he'd be like, oh, what are you guys doing? You guys want some snacks? You guys want some water? No? Okay. And at one point, he just grabbed a chair and just sat down in the yard, and he was just, like, singing with us and, like, chatting. And he was just really enjoying our presence, which was not how we had initially started off the day, but it was really beautiful to see how God was working in him. So if you guys could pray for Fred, I really liked him. He's so nice. The second story, I want to tell you guys was about Hafsa and her cousin Marzia. And so I didn't really get to interact with the older girl, but Hafsa was about 8 years old, beautiful little girl, running around, like, dresses everywhere. And when I first met her, I was like, wow, she's really young. And I'm not sure if you guys know this, but in Arab culture, usually girls don't start wearing hijabs until they're a little bit older. And so I was like, okay, maybe, like, that's a cultural thing, or, like, because I've only worked with a handful of, like, Afghan families. But I was able to sit down with them, and I went up to them, and I go, hi, what's your name? And she goes, I'm Hafsa. And she goes, what's your name? And I'm like, I'm Jessica. And she looks at me, and she goes, do you speak Spanish? Where's your family from? And I thought it was so cool that this little girl immediately clocked my accent that I usually only allow to shine through when I'm introducing myself, just so people will get my name right. And for the rest of the time that we were there, I was the Mexican girl. They're like, where's the Mexican girl? Where's the Mexican girl? And, like, it was just a matter of fact. She was like, yeah, like, where is she? Where is our friend? And I was able to interact a little bit with Hafsa on the last couple of days of our trip. And I came to realize, like, you know, the circumstances under which her family moved to the States, and just a lot of, like, what happens in her family. And she was a really sweet little girl. And at one point, it was already pretty hot, but it got really hot right around noon. And between, like, the long dress and, like, the long stockings, like, leggings she was wearing, plus the hijab, she was overheating pretty bad. And so she was like, hey, can we, like, go inside? Like, I'm over this. And so she had really wanted to take her hijab off. But in Arab, like, Islam practicing families, you have to ask your closest male relative for permission to do things like that. And so we had to go out on a mission to find her 5-year-old little brother so she could ask for permission to remove her hijab. And it kind of broke my heart a little bit to realize that, like, a lot of the freedoms that we have, like, she wasn't afforded, like, she didn't want to wear it, and it wasn't like a, she's young and she's keeping a piece of her cultural identity, but rather that, like, she feels pressure to, and she's not allowed to take it off. And so, you know, I've worked with a lot of Muslim women and things like that, and a lot of women take pride in their hijab because it's a show of their faith. But this little girl was just asking me a ton of questions, and every time her hair would slip through, or, you know, it would fall out of her hijab, I would help her tuck it in. And she looks at me and she's like, you don't believe the same thing I do. I was like, no, I believe in a different God than you. And she goes, well, then why are you helping me? Why are you fixing my hair? Why are you fixing my hijab? Why is this something that you're partaking in? And I told her, I was like, because in, you know, my family, the way that I've been raised, and what God calls me to do is to love everybody and to love your friends. And just because I don't necessarily have the same beliefs as you doesn't mean that I'm not going to respect that, and that I'm not going to care about the things that you care about, because that's what love is. Love is sitting down and talking to somebody and having the same conversation with them for the sixth time when you've already heard everything that they have to say about it, but because you love them and because you want to hear them talk about the things that they're passionate about. And I think in that moment she was like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And it's just like, it took her a minute. She was like, oh, okay. And she grabbed my hand. She was like, can we go look at the tarantula? I was like, yeah, let's go look at the tarantula. Sure. It was like this. It was huge. I'm not a spider person, but I held it together until all the kids left. And I was like, ugh, gross. But in all honesty, just getting to meet some of these little kids and like the unprecedented amount of Spanish speakers that Welcome Neighbor had in the week that we were there was just kind of a blessing. It wasn't kind of a blessing. It was a blessing because I started feeling a little bit down about myself, just like my background, you know, where my family's from. I have a lot of insecurities surrounding things like that. And God created a lot of opportunities for me to finally get into my head that he made me with a purpose. And I know the Bible says that, and I tell people that all the time, but it's really hard to live out and be like, well, God created me this way for a reason, and because it's allowing me to do ministry in the way that he has called me to be, called me to do it. And I like met this beautiful little girl who, she was born in Baja California in Mexico, where all of my family's from. And just getting to interact with her and like her family and all of the people from like Venezuela and Honduras and just like the Arab speaking families that I was also able to translate for just made me realize that God has gifted me with passions and with desires to like, yes, to learn other languages, but also to communicate with people in the language of their hearts. And for those of you that don't speak other languages, I'm not sure if that makes any sense. But when somebody makes an effort to actually speak to me in my first language, I'm like, oh, wow, like, they actually, like, they see me. They see me as God made me, not as the world sees me. Like, they see who I am, and they see that, like, this is something that is important to me. And so, if you guys just could be praying for Hafsa and Fred, they're both just... I really liked Fred. I did. I'm very much so a people person, and I just love grandpas. And just getting to sit with him and hear about his story, and also Hafsa and just her heart for, you know, music and all of the things. And, you know, between giving her piggyback rides, and she, like, had me singing weird songs. I was like, ah, whatever. But it was just really beautiful, everything that God was able to do while we were in Missouri and on our way home. I also really think it provided an opportunity for God to heal something in me that I didn't realize still needed healing for a really long time. I've associated Billings and like Laurel area and just Eastern Montana with a lot of the woes of my childhood. And like, it could have been worse, but I definitely have seen a really dark side of humanity, and I associate that with Billings as a specific. And so whenever my family's like, hey, we're gonna go, I always find an excuse to not have to. I'll pick up a couple of extra shifts and just not bring it up. But usually the anxiety and the fear and just the memories that come up on my way back to Billings weren't an issue this time as we were driving past either east or west. And it sounds really weird to say that like a place has been redeemed for me, but I was able to just pass through with like no anxiety attacks, no like unsettling, just panic in the deep of my belly that makes it so hard that I like can't eat or hold down food. And it was really nice to have that new association with Billings and with Joliet, and like actually have a reason to want to visit now because of our new friends out there. So.
Because his immune system was so low, and so most of the time we kind of just didn't talk to others. So when I came back into my seventh grade year, I felt lost and awkward in those situations and relationships because I didn't really know how to talk to anyone anymore, build on the relationships that I had. So I just kind of distanced myself and also just like didn't really try to build on the relationships because I didn't know. But on this trip, I learned how to bring myself to open up more, talk about myself instead of just being like, yeah, this is my name, that's cool, what about you? And so I started to open up more about me rather than just everything about someone else other than just me. So it wasn't just a one-sided relationship and it was like evened out. And so that had to lead a devotion because before this trip, I had no idea how to do that. But now I do. Well, how to do it on our own style. I personally, I don't know if Laura was or not, but I was freaking out because the few days before ours, no one was doing the style that me and Laura had originally picked out for ours. And so they were like teaching us on the scripture and the lesson. And me and Laura kind of did it like how we do Bible study in which we ask questions. And so I was really nervous on that because I didn't know how that was going to go. But this amazing person, her name is Noelle, helped like bring me to the realization that it's an awesome opportunity for others to kind of step out of their comfort zone and actually like engage with the stuff that we're also doing. And so in that, me and Nora finally did it. It was awesome. We did good, I think.
Sorry, 1 second. My phone went blank during that time. Okay. John, am I center? Yeah. Okay, sweet. Yeah, so I just want to share one more story and then just a little bit about how proud I am of this incredible team and these students and all they did. And so on one of the days, we were going and we were cleaning the homes of the people in the Afghan refugee community. And it was incredible because at first they just handed us like window cleaner and they were like, yeah, we called ahead. These families said that it's okay. And just a reminder, the organization we were working with, the first couple days we were working in partnership with the church in Deloge. But in St. Louis, Missouri, we were working with Welcome Neighbor, which is a nonprofit secular organization. And the leader of that organization last year when John asked if his church could come and serve was very hesitant and very nervous. And she gave them a couple small opportunities and they just continue to show up and shine and serve with such beautiful hearts and love and compassion that she kept giving them more opportunities on that trip. And so this year, John was looking at going back to St. Louis and looking at opportunities and reached out and she was like, oh my goodness, I have been waiting. I really wanted you guys to come back. It meant so much to me that you came back last year. And she's not a believer and she's been very vocal about that. And we showed up and she gave us so many more opportunities to really step into like community and intimacy with these families to get to know them on a more personal level, which was just was just so beautiful in that. And the kids, again, like, were incredible, and they served with such love and compassion and generosity that as we were leaving, she opened up the invitation to all 27 people on our team and said, if ever any of you find yourself back in St. Louis, I hope that you will come and join us. I hope you will come serve with us. And just talked about the impact. And she said, not only would I never open up an opportunity for someone, for a church to come and serve with us for 3 days, I would never open up an opportunity for any group to come and serve for 3 days because it drains me so much. And she's like, I'm so sad that our time has come to an end because you have such an impact here. And so that's just incredible. And to keep praying, her name's Lindsay, so to keep praying for Lindsay as, like, God is softening her heart to believers and all that, so. But on the day that we were going in and we were cleaning people's homes, we were cleaning their windows, and it's just such a small thing. And so we would show up, knock on the door, and they're like, hey, can these people come clean your windows? And the women would let us into their home, and we would clean, and we would try to make some conversation. But it was pretty quick in each house before we transitioned to the next one. And we got to the last house of the day, and the woman, her name is Shahida, and she asked if we wanted tea afterwards. And our host had to leave. They had to go do something else. But me and the two girls were like, yeah, we've got like another hour. We can sit and have tea. And so she like gets us all set up, and she gets the couch ready, and she brings the table over. And she brought out this incredible platter. It would have killed Philip because it had 7 different varieties of nuts on it, as well as like golden raisins and like this huge spread. And I was blown away. Like, she just pulled it out right away. And then she brings out this huge thing of tea, which I love. Amanda, you would have loved it. It was incredible. It was delicious. It was amazing. And it was like giant. And all these beautiful teacups. And you have to understand, as you come into their homes, there are these beautiful Afghan rugs and then floor cushions, but there's no decorations on the walls. There's not a lot of things. There's not a lot of objects around. And so what they have is to bring in, like, to host in such a beautiful and elaborate way shows their heart for that and for hospitality. And so she has this whole spread for us. And then she goes back to her kitchen, and she had made a homemade cake in anticipation that people might come to her house today to clean her windows. And so she brought out this cake, and then she goes back and she gets these like incredible, delicious, like she called them elephant ears, but they're a little different. I can't describe them. They've got pistachio. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. And then like we're sitting down and she goes, oh, the chocolate. And she runs back and go gets more chocolate. And I was just blown away by her hospitality and like generosity and an abundance. But then I was really sad because we sit down for this tea and she goes and she sits in a corner with her child on the floor, like way in the different space. And I asked her several times, I was trying to build conversation. I was like, why don't you come sit with us, come have tea with us? And she's like, oh no, I want to thank you for washing my windows. I just want to thank you. And so I'm trying to make conversation, and we start talking about, them leaving Afghanistan. And I asked, like, what she missed, and she said, I miss my mom. My mom has cancer, and I can't be with her. And it broke my heart, and I asked her, I was like, hey, do you have any pictures of your mom that you can show me? Because I was kind of, you know, trying to pull her in, and she's scrolling on her phone over there. She lit up immediately. She was like, yes, yes, I do. And she ran over, left her kid in the little bouncy seat, ran over and sat with us, and finally was like, I will join you for tea. Let me show you pictures. She does not pick a picture of her mom. She goes on for the next half hour showing us her wedding photos and telling us about her friends and all of her family members and all the people that she misses. And she, I mean, she's a young woman. She's probably about the same age as I am, with 2 beautiful children and stuff. And she's, it was incredible because their lives become so lonely when they come to the States. They're working and they have community and they have their family when they're in Afghanistan and in their home country. And then they leave their country, and it takes years, typically. They lived in 4 different countries in different refugee camps in order to get to the United States eventually, where they're now living in St. Louis. And she speaks very little English. I mean, it's incredible English for where she's at, but it's not enough to be able to be employed right now. And just if you think about the people in your life, and even, like, not calling out Hannah, but kind of, like, Hannah's a new mom. And it puts her in a new situation where she's not able to keep working. She's at home with Eldon. And because she's got a little one, they have to stay home a lot more. And, like, postpartum can be isolating and lonely. Think about doing that in a foreign country where you don't speak the language, where all your family and your support is gone, and you have no way to step into those things. And so for her to be able to come into a space and show photos, she wanted to show us her wedding. She wanted to show us the things that she loves and that she misses about her country. And it was beautiful. And we sat there for a half hour, an hour, just talking over these things. And then we had to leave at the end. And we're like, oh, we have to go. And my youth student was like, can we see a picture of your mom? And she was like, oh, yeah, this is my mom. She's in this picture. And so we're still praying for her mom and praying for Shahida. But it was beautiful for me because I think I've had the opportunity to go to a lot of different countries and serve different people and enter into their culture in those spaces. And that is an incredible gift from God. But this was my first opportunity working with refugees who have come from another culture into our home. And into our country and our space. And I felt myself being really nervous because I didn't want to say something wrong or do something wrong in a cultural faux pas and not knowing the language. And Jessica actually gave me a great perspective because she was like, Naomi, that is their life every day of every interaction. They have way more anxiety about this than you do. And it's so true, like to come into that space, like her heart needs are the same heart needs as other young women and young moms all around the nation. She is lonely. She wants community. She wants to talk with people. She wants friendship. And like we can do that. Soft Landing is here in Missoula and there are opportunities to serve with them. And even if it's not with refugees, of like just the other people in your community, like there are opportunities to step in and to serve people and meeting them in the space that they are in. And so that was really cool. And then it was just amazing watching like the why of particular of like youth ministry and missions was just watching the youth serve. And this being like Nora talking about like this being one of the first opportunities that she's been able to share and like serve in a community in this way. And just the gift of that. And also watching them experience answered prayers and the hope that that gives them and their faith and how they're growing in it. And this space to be gone for almost 2 weeks and practice different spiritual disciplines where they're reading their Bibles every morning and they're praying together and they're worshiping and watching their faith grow and watching how their conversation with one another changes and it grows and how they are encouraging. It's amazing. So, and then also just like the community and the relationships they were able to build. Is very exciting for me, and I'm sure for their families too. So there are two verses that I wanted to share. All right, so the first one is in Philippians, and it's Philippians, oh gosh, I didn't write it down, but I will find it real quick. I did write it down, let me find it. Okay, it's Philippians 2, 14 and 15, and it says, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. And I saw that in the students, not only the two that we took with us, but the other 16 that were with us as well. And they're incredible. They're incredible. And they just lived that testimony in such a beautiful way. And then Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. And remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward and that the master you are serving is Christ. So thank you. Thank you for praying. Thank you for supporting and making it possible. We really appreciate it.
There we are. Okay, sweet. That's awesome. And what a privilege for us to be able to send. I am super proud of our church being able to raise the support and all that Jessica did to put on the fundraiser and all that stuff to be able to send these guys. And it's really pretty cool. What's really cool is they took up my whole time, so I got a sermon already written for next week, and that's awesome. Yeah. So... here's something I want us to think about. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. We all have different gifts. We all have different talents. We all have different passions. But what's crazy about that is God has given us all the same ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. And what you heard up here was a lot of that. It doesn't matter whether you're pulling weeds or just sitting and talking with somebody. Being able to engage in folks and realizing, yeah, it takes a little bit of courage, but the folks that we need to reach are the ones that are out there, that it would take them a whole lot more courage to actually step out and address the needs that they have. We have opportunities around us. And what if God wants to use us to actually create a huge impact? What if we didn't get big? What if we remained a small church? Would it really matter if we actually were healthy and worked from the strength that God gave us from within, and the strength and the joy that we have here as a collective to be able to love on our community and around the world? I mean, to be honest, wouldn't that be a privilege to be a tiny little nobody that actually had a huge impact around the world? To me, I think that's pretty cool. I'd much rather be the young David, I think, than somebody that had a lot of influence just because they had a lot of people come to church, but it was pretty shallow impact. So, that rests on each and every one of us. God has called us. He's blessed us. Every one of you that I've talked to, you love this church, and you know that you have a family. But it's time for us to actually start ministering to those around that don't. And it may be your neighbor. It may be soft landing, those that are refugees, that are lost, and that are here trying to find a new home. Who knows? God has placed you where you're at for a reason. Father God, we just come before you. We thank you for the way that you love us, the way that you lead us and guide us. Father, we ask that you would empower us to be bold, that we would not cower, that we would not hide, but Father, that we would step up. We thank you for our youth and our youth leaders and all that they put into it. Father, I thank you that you gave them such a beautiful opportunity to be able to see you at work and to be used by you. Father God, help us. Help us to love on those that you put in our way. Help us to be able to step out of our comfort zone and invest in those that need to be reached. Father God, we long to see your power flow. We long to see your Spirit move. We want to see people reborn. We want to see people come to a new realization of what life can mean, to be able to give them hope and purpose, to step beyond just the walls of our religion, but actually step into that relationship with you. And so, Father God, we give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen.